Hi, Montana Mint sports fans. It's Bear Tycoon. It's been a crazy few days with Grizz starting quarterback Gresh Jensen announcing that he will transfer from Missoula. Because this news is so crazy, we are debuting 4 months early a Grizz-focused podcast that we are planning to start up this fall. There's no Hot Take Nate. There's no Bear Tycoon. It's two new guys talking just about Grizz football. So, without further delay, I'm going to send you to Luke and Mike with the latest on the Grizz quarterback situation, including some conspiracy theories about what just went down. Plus, the guys are going to break down in detail the Grizz offense and defense following what they saw at the spring games. Let's go.
Welcome, Grizz Nation. That was Lady Lou and the Bird Dogs that played us in. Thank you to them. And welcome to the Grizzcast. So I'm Luke.
And I'm Mike.
And we're going to be bringing to you Grizz Nation news all season long. And we decided, we exchanged some texts today and we said, time for an emergency pod. Why not this be the first Luke and Mike Grizzcast?
Yeah, it was a big day in Grizz Nation. And I think that the people deserve to have us analyze it. So what happened today, Luke?
Well, first of all, I think Cody McCombs. This is crazy. Transfers to Rocky. My Twitter's been blowing up.
Yeah. It seems like somebody else transferred too, but I can't think of their name right
Someone
now.
Else do?
But Cody McCombs, funny, you know, he 2 years ago he transferred in from like Black Hill State or something like that. And he blew it up in spring, but then he had to sit out for a year. And now he's just buried on the depth chart. So good for him. Going to Billings. Said it was a family thing. Who else transferred today?
So it turns out maybe the best freshman quarterback in Grizz history transferred.
Oh, yeah. You mean that guy that's got 6 of the top 10 passing performances for a freshman at UM ever and all top 5? I think I heard something about that.
I could be blocking this out of my memory. I can't remember his name. It was something Jensen.
Yeah. Gresh. I had a paper bag and I was hyperventilating all day.
So Gresh Jensen transfers. He announces today on Twitter that he's going to be no longer a Grizz. Actually, the Grizz broke it first.
Yeah. He clearly told them and they put out like a 2-sentence statement today or a little quick statement and a 2-sentence quote from Hauk saying we wish him well and we'll do whatever we can to help him out. And then a little bit later, Gresh tweeted out, you know, what student athletes in this era do. You know, they put a nice message on Twitter about thanking everybody and going on to the next step.
Oh my gosh. What a Monday. What? I don't know that I'm ready for this.
You know, what's really frustrating is we've been planning on doing a spring camp wrap up. And I spent hours researching stats for the QB competition breakdown. That is all just for naught. You know, I mean, like I wrote words, thousands of them, and it's done now.
So, hey, Gresh, Mike and I wish you the best wherever you land. I hope you continue to set the football field afire. I'm going to miss you because here's something, Mike. I was thinking, like, why do I love Gresh so damn much?
I know, it's a weird concept.
But I figured it out, part of it out, is whenever you play Madden, or, you know, you play college football game, you always draft the rookie who's excellent, and you play him through his career. You want him to be All-American, or, like, first-team Pro Bowl the whole time, and you're going to break everyone's records, and I feel like we had that with Gresh, and I wanted that, and I was so looking forward to putting his jersey up there next to like Dave Dickinson's.
Oh yeah, yeah. You feel like he could have, and a lot would have to go right because it's like, you know, there are some people who peak their freshman year and don't get any better, and we have no idea how his career is going to go. But you felt like we were on the cusp of what could have been.
We call those Denarius McGee's.
Oh man, what could have been a really impressive career. And I think that you're right. I think what it is in my lifetime, we haven't had a quarterback start all 4 years. And like the closest thing we had to somebody even really trying was Cole Berquist. You know, he played as a freshman, was beat out by Jason Washington, which is a whole nother debate because he was better than Jason Washington. He should have never been behind him, but mm-hmm. that's a different conversation. His head coach was Bobby Houck, round one. The next year he was brought in another transfer, Josh Swagger. Swagger beat him out. Swagger probably was better than the sophomore version of Cole Burquist. Then the next 2 years, Cole was an all Big Sky QB, and those were pretty good Grizz teams. They went to the national championship twice, I believe. Yeah, two times while he was starting. And he had Mariana to throw to. He had good players. But it was interesting because he started the second half of 2005, sat behind Josh Swagger in 2006, then started in 2007, 2008. Does that sound right, Luke?
Yeah. I'm following you. I think I saw Andrew Schmidt tweet something out, and he is the ever like Grizz historian of the last 20 years.
Side note, if you don't follow Andrew Schmidt on Twitter, you are missing out. Find that guy on Twitter.
He has a lot of hot takes, and they're mostly right. I find myself like nodding in agreement all the time.
Yeah, I've never wanted to unfollow him.
So really, we haven't had like a 4-year starter since Burquist.
And even then, he really wasn't. But that's the most relevant comparison I could think of.
Gresh was our chance, man. Like, I was buying all the Gresh stock.
Yep, and you were thinking, it's like, you know, here he was. And, yeah, you know, Coach Stitt had a very pass-happy offense. And you're going to have a lot of fans point out the way. Maybe it was the system. And I think the system helped him put up some big numbers. But, I've watched enough football, even though I'm not a football expert, to know that Gresh is something beyond just a system quarterback. Now, what's interesting, and we can get into this in a little bit, is I feel like in this spring camp, in the scrimmages and maybe even in the practices a little bit that I was able to catch, he was making mistakes on stuff that he didn't make mistakes on last year. So I don't know if he was pressing a little bit because of the competition or what. But, you know, as you all know, right after the Cat game, the decision was made not to renew Bob Stitt, and that started a chain of events. Depending on who you want to believe, Bobby Houck had the job before Stitt was let go, but there was an interview process, and I know they interviewed a lot of other people, so I don't want to get in trouble with the athletic department there. But Houck comes in, and pretty quickly after that, they hit the recruiting trail. You know, you never heard him get too excited about anybody on the roster, but that's kind of Houck. Houck is a no-star guy. You hear guys who played for him last time he was here talk about it. He is a no-star guy. So he goes in, they recruit this transfer from a junior college, but who Bobby and Coach Rosenbach, the offensive coordinator, recruited to UNLV, Dalton Snead. And my brother-in-law and I were discussing that Dalton Snead sounds like a Harry Potter name. So
either villain or professor.
Yeah, he's either a villain. So I think we were going to settle on Professor Snead, the Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher. But side note, back to the important stuff. So they bring in Dalton Snead for this competition. And Luke, before we kind of get into that, kind of, what are your thoughts? You're an athlete. You've competed for a job, not at the college level, except on the intramural fields. But
I'm an intramural legend. Yeah, I like to put that on record.
I was there. We could talk about our softball games sometime, but now's not the time.
Man, so initial reaction was obviously panic. And, you gotta move forward. You got to play with the team you have. And so when I look at the available information on Snead, almost in chronological order, essentially what I know about him starts with these sort of out-of-the-blue tweets from Josh Buss directly at Dalton Snead back in October. Buss tweets
January.
Is that January?
Yeah.
So Buss tweets back at him, like, all your real great teammates missed you at the meeting, bud. I'm adding the emphasis. I don't know how he meant it. He goes, hope you can make it next week. We'll save a seat for you. And then he tweets again, if you want to win championships with us, I recommend you showing up for the meetings. I'll send you a pic of our rings. Be humble.
And it's like, that was literally, and it's like, I know this is, we're analyzing the Twitter of a junior in college, which is a dangerous thing.
I was an idiot at that age.
As Coulter at Skyline has pointed out, that the most common thing to read into a tweet is it's probably about a girl. But this was clearly not about a girl. The thing that stood out to me then was, you know, Snead as a transfer enrolled in school in January when the semester started. So he was here before, you know, the recruit class. And so he was here for all of winter conditioning. And the thing that stood out to me is like to have a team leader, because Buss is no doubt, I mean, like he's been injured this spring, but he is one of the team leaders on defense, no doubt. And to have him so publicly call out this new QB, it stood out to me.
Yeah, no doubt. So that's like my first impression of this kid is he's missing team meetings. I've missed more than a few in my life.
And who knows? This is all us reading into things. Who knows what the story is on that?
But I'm a little skeptical off the bat. And
the tweet hasn't been deleted. It's still there.
It's still there. But then Snead comes out in the spring game a couple weeks ago, 2 weekends ago, with team number one.
You know, what's interesting is I watched, a lot of spring ball. I was able to catch some practices, and you know, I'm not going to break any of the new rules that they put on the media this year and the fans.
What formations are they in?
Exactly. I'm just so you guys know, don't set your expectations too high in this podcast because I am not the guy to break down formations.
You're an expert, Mike, and don't you tell Grizz Nation differently.
But with Coach Stitt, they didn't let anybody watch practice unless they were QB club members, and media could come for 15 minutes and then they had to leave. So, you know, fans like me, you know, who aren't media, they get to watch a little bit more. So this year they opened back up. They said fans can come, but don't live tweet and don't give away information. I just find it ironic because there aren't many fans who are going to be smart enough to give away any information because they don't know what they're looking at. But that being said, it did give me a chance to watch the QB competition all spring. And, you know, the aforementioned Andrew Schmidt has mentioned it on Twitter a little bit, and a few other people have mentioned it as well. If you talk to former players of Coach Hauk, a lot of them will say that a big part of his coaching style is to make sure that the players are mentally tough enough as well as everything else.
Right, right.
You know, stay on guys, ride them hard all 4 years, all 5 years they're in the program. You try and get the best out of them. And what appeared to happen, and I think it happened at a few positions, not just QB, is that some of the guys that they brought in pretty quickly were running with the ones.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that the offense operated, every running back and every receiver rotated in and out with both the one and two offenses, I would say. So it's not like they weren't getting reps with everybody, but Snead was with the number one O-line, if you will, pretty much every practice, as well as all the camps, as well as all the scrimmages. And Jensen was with the number two. And I don't know if I wonder, you know, how that decision was come to. I don't know. The coaches probably watched film. They probably watched winter conditioning, workouts, saw how the team was reacting. But I wonder, you know, how do you react to that? You're a freshman All-American. You were voted number three. You took third in basically the freshman of the year voting for the entire country. And here you are, and you open spring camp, not necessarily number one.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That's really tough. Well, what we know is that not all of the locker room may be split, fractured.
Yeah, it's hard to say, and it's like, who are we? You know, we're just fans, and we sit here and figure this all out.
Well, what I know is that Elijah Lee tweeted today. He retweeted and commented on Gress Jensen's post. They messed up on this one too. You know what's up though? Like he's talking about the coaches,
which makes you wonder if we're not going to hear in the next few days that Lee's transferring too. Maybe not, and I hate to speculate because I'd hate to see that. But what's interesting is I haven't been on Twitter much the last half of the day, but that's about the only real reaction from a player that I think I've seen. And what's interesting is how's the locker room handle something like this? And we don't know. I mean, for all we know, it could be possible that Snead has come in and won over the guys, took the job, and the guys are like, okay, yeah. And then Jensen's, you know, leaving for a new opportunity. Or it could be that Jensen didn't feel like he got a fair shake and is leaving. I mean, we don't have any idea. And it's probably, we're never going to know.
All I know is don't leave, Elijah. stay with us. Stay with us. There's lots of touches in your future. Yeah. We might even have a fullback.
Yeah.
So this has erupted tons of conspiracy theories because now we have an open scholarship to give. I saw even like Sean Rainey's already picking out that like some quarterback from Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah, the kid's name I can't remember. Corey something? Carey something?
Kare Lyles.
Kare Lyles, yeah. Who, as far as I can tell, didn't play a snap last year, but was a 3-star QB.
Right, right.
So I don't know. Who knows?
So, yeah, we're going to recruit the best and the brightest, hopefully.
And this is something that I've debated fans over the years quite a bit on. Is there's a lot of fans that think that if they transfer down from FBS, they're automatically better than the people we've got. And I don't, I mean, if you look at our history, that's about 50-50.
Yeah.
And for every Craig Oaks and Drew Miller we've had a Jason Washington or a Justin Overthroper. Justin Roper.
Yeah, ask Carson Wentz what he thinks about top dog quarterbacks. What's the dumbest hot take that you found?
Oh, God. Well, who knows? But I don't think Gress Jensen is transferring from the University of Montana to end up playing for the Bobcats. So let's just calm down. I mean, I'm not saying that's impossible, but I'd be shocked. And I know that if you're listening to this podcast, you've probably heard of Cold Take Nate. and, you know, it's unfortunate that that man, he just, nothing he ever says is accurate.
He's full of shit.
He's full of shit. And he's out there suggesting that that Jensen's gonna, you know, end up with the Bobcats. He's still delusional about Murray, though, which is a whole different conversation. So don't listen to anything Nate says.
Listen, I was in on some text today with Nate, and he was so excited at the possibility that Jensen would become a Bobcat. I mean, he shit on Jensen all year long, but oh, you know, it tells you something about Murray.
That is funny because you mentioned that. It's like you look at, like, if you scroll the cesspool that's, you know, Twitter with terrible fans, or you go look at Egress and sort through the 32 garbage posts for the two good posts. There are some Cat fans who have never had a nice thing to say about Gress, who now are like, that dude was legit.
Hey, he can throw.
And it's like, so I don't know what to think. And I think that we're going to be not knowing what to think for a long time because you know, the reality is most likely that Gresh is going to have to go to a junior college and then transfer somewhere else the year after. So we're really not going to know for a year. However, there is some talk that the NCAA might change the transfer rules a bit this summer and not completely waive the ability for players to transfer or not. But when a coach gets fired or leaves, there is some push to allow players to transfer off those teams because when coaching changes come, a lot of times players change. So it's like, this could be, it's nothing personal with Coach Houck, it's nothing personal with Gresh, but it's just, you know, Coach Houck wanted his own guy and that's Snead, and Jensen wanted a chance to compete, and maybe he didn't feel he was getting it, or maybe, who knows. But it'll be interesting, because if he does transfer to a program, I would have to think he'll go to an FBS program. I honestly think that as a freshman, he showed a competence that I think he could play in the MAC. I think he could play in the Mountain West. No doubt. That's, in my mind, the tier of quarterback he is. Now, I could be wrong. He could fall flat on his face, and the reality is that it doesn't matter because I'm a fan and I get to have my opinions. but I don't think he is transferring from here to go play at Weber State, for instance. Like, mm-hmm. If it happens, I'll be the first one to say I was wrong, but I'd be shocked.
Right, right. All right, so moving on, we touched on the spring game a little bit. What did you see that got you really excited for next season?
Oh, man. Well, the first thing at the spring game is, I mean, I'm a believer that Houck was playing mind games with Gresh, and that in the fall he would have easily won the job from Snead. With that being said, I will tell you from day one of spring camp, something I've told anybody who's asked me, you know, I kind of talk Grizz football with, I think Snead has impressed me. He's played better than I thought he would. We've known from the second we saw his highlight tapes that he is a runner and he is quick. I mean, it's like his 40 time is for a quarterback, you know, it's a good running quarterback, but it's not like a Michael Vick. But his first step speed, you know, like the 0 to 60 in a car, his first step speed is ridiculous. It's one of those, like, if those D linemen, if those linebackers don't wrap him up and catch him, he is going to be gone. And not necessarily gone for a touchdown, although you look at his highlights at UNLV and he had like some ridiculous like 97-yard touchdown run. So, you know, I'm excited to see what he can do. And I think the reality is, and we'll touch on this later, but they're going to have to find another quarterback with some sort of experience, because we can't go into the season with Dalton Snead and the Wilson kid from Polson, who seems like a good kid, but I mean, he's never taken a snap. The only person who's taken a snap at quarterback on our roster now for the Grizz is Caleb Hill, who's playing tight end.
Oh, that's scary. That's scary.
You know, it's going to be interesting to watch what they do with that position.
What did the O-line look like?
You know, the O-line, they're young. And one thing that Coach Huck mentioned in his opening press conference on was basically they basically had 10 O-linemen for spring camp. And Thane Jackson had surgery, so he's been hurt. They're number one. They're young. I think they're going to be all right.
They return Angel Villanueva.
Yeah, he's the only junior in the group, and he's a true junior. He played as a true freshman, so he's a stit recruit. The one thing we have going for us is that one of the coaches that we retained was Germer, and he, you know, was the O-line coach with Stitt. He's been here before. He's been with Bobby at UNLV, and he's back here. So he knows these guys. Dallas Hart has looked pretty good at center to me. Colton Kintz was the kind of interesting one in camp. He was kind of the body that was filling in while Thane was recovering.
Okay.
But he's looked good. I think they probably think they can have a starting five and maybe two or three backups out of that group. I would be shocked if they're not trying to find a transfer or two at the O-line position. If for nothing else, some depth with some people who've got some playing time.
Yeah, well, I guess we've got a scholarship open.
Yeah, we've got a few. I mean, I know they saved a few, and we've got one. I mean, the reality is when a new coach comes in, we're probably going to have a few more. You know, I don't know that Cody McCombs was on a full scholarship. So, he may or may not have been getting some assistance. But
we have a new book stipend open. Yeah,
we've got a new book
stipend. Anyone who's open. Really into reading.
But the reality is that actually... they can give a little bit of money then to another walk-on or somebody who's in the program working hard who deserves it, but it still keeps the scholarships for them to go out and recruit.
So when I get excited about next year's Grizz team, I immediately think about our wide receiving core. We've got a super explosive player in Jerry Louis McGee. We're returning Samuel Akem. We're returning Jeremy Calhoun, Keenan Curran. And maybe even our best option at receiver, Samori Torre. I think that's how you say the first name, but Torre.
Torre, yep.
I think he's fantastic. We're so deep there.
Yeah, it's crazy. Torre, first of all, I think Torre could be one of the best we've ever had. And that's saying a lot because we've had some good receivers over the years. I mean, obviously the most recent, Mariani, went to the pros, but we've had some good guys. I mean, even Stitt's first year, we had a great group of receivers. I mean, probably... as talented of a 1-2-3 as we've ever had, because Roberts transferred in as a senior after playing basketball. Roberts' younger brother, Mitch, is coming off his redshirt year. I think he's going to contribute next year, which makes it even deeper. You've got a guy like Calhoun, who I think is an unsung leader on that. He's probably our most consistent receiver in my mind. He's not the flashiest. You've got a bunch of guys that are talented who never got playing time. Taylor was hurt, Romario Taylor. He had that big drop against Eastern Washington, and they just never heard from him again.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Too soon. Oh, God. And if we had won that game, it's a completely different season. But, yeah, receivers, I think we're crazy deep. And I part of me wonders if we won't see one of those guys maybe leave. And I'm not saying, like, I would encourage anyone to go, but it's like the reality is we're probably too deep at receiver. When Coach Hout got hired at his press conference, he kind of joked about they let him see the scholarship numbers that morning and were a little stacked at a few positions. And it's like you laughed because it's like you knew he was talking about wide receiver. Because we are ridiculously deep. Now, what I'll say about these guys is I think Akem has the best raw, like you look at him and you think this guy's an NFL prototype receiver. Mm-hmm. He's tall. He's got long legs, long strides. They seem to have been working on him catching away from his body this year. So that'll be interesting to watch as the season goes on. I mean, all these guys are guys that I think a lot of them are legitimately FBS guys. So it's like, you wonder, how did they end up here? It's like, is there one thing they need to work on? You know, I think as a group last year, our receivers probably dropped the ball a little bit more than you would like. So hopefully we see some fixes there. Keenan Curran's the veteran leader. He's one of the seniors on the team. I wonder if Keenan gets some of his drops that he had last year, if the coaches will be as patient as the last one. We'll see. But I really like Keenan. I think he's a good guy. He's one of those guys that you're proud that he plays here. You know,
and his mom is a real underrated Twitter follower.
I would agree with that. His mom is an underrated Twitter follower. Yeah. It's interesting because like, you look at the roster, and I don't know that they've changed some of the guys that they changed the positions of some of the guys, because I'm pretty sure that Fouch was a receiver at the beginning of last year, and now I think he's lining up with the safeties.
Okay.
But I could be wrong. Eaton went to cornerback, did he not?
I think so.
So, yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to watch it. Another one, and I think we've talked about this off the pod a little bit, but we're going to have tight ends.
Tight end alert.
And, you know, I think we're kind of lucky because it's ironic. You know, we're switching to tight ends, and we happen to have the son of an NFL tight end on the roster, and that's Colin Bingham. His dad played for the Grizz. He's playing for the Grizz. He played H-back in Stitt's offense, which was, you know, tight ends by another name, but not quite as tough, if you will. I'm not saying they're all tough. They're going over the middle, but it wasn't a traditional tight end in the sense that we're kind of used to. The other thing that I think is going to be kind of funny to watch, because I think Bingham could be a prototypical tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb Hill's playing tight end. There's another guy, number 9, whose name is Malik Flowers. I can't remember. Who I think has got some speed at tight end. The first time Houck was here, I feel like he got a lot of criticism from fans. He would probably tell you, yeah, lots of coaches in the stands at Washington Grizzly Stadium. But I feel like we always heard, use the tight ends more. And it's like, now he's talking about, we're bringing the tight ends back. But it's like, are they coming back to block, or are they coming back to catch passes? We'll see what happens.
Hey, I still think they should have thrown more little dump passes to, like, Walden. Like,
oh, 6'8", yeah.
6'8", Walden.
So Walden, and there's Jayton Simpson.
I love that guy.
And some of those guys might have been Glenn guys, too. But I feel like we had some guys over the years at tight end that fans were always like, this guy could be so good, get on the ball. But it is a different offensive staff than it was last time. I think that's something we need to keep in mind. The last time Coach Houck was here, his offensive coordinator for most of the years was Fennessy. One year he had a guy named Axman who was the QB coach. But then he left town and it was Fennessy. And I have to think that Rosenbach and Pease are both significantly better coaches than the now Idaho State head coach, Rob Fennessy. No offense, Rob Fennessy.
You know, I think that's a real underrated part of college football is the caliber of your staff. In the NFL, you have like unlimited amount of practice time and ability to devote to the sport. But mm-hmm. in college, that stuff's regulated. So you basically have your athletes and then you're really reliant on your coaches to fine-tune the players in a finite amount of time. So having a veteran coaching staff is critical. And I think that's a huge step that the Grizz took. I really liked our coaching staff last year. But I do think we've been definitely upgraded in experience and depth of wisdom and knowledge. So it's not something a lot of people are talking about, but I do think it's true. Let's switch maybe now to the defensive side of the ball. And let's start in the interior. We've got a new 37, right? We got a new Tucker Shy and the Grizz staff passed on from, is it the Craig Paulson number?
Yeah, it started with Craig Paulson. It's funny because he was offense. He started it.
Oh, really?
And now everybody since then has been defense. People act like, oh, it's got to be a defender. And so the reality is it started with Craig Paulson. And he was a fullback. So it's a Montana player. And that's about the only rule. There's a lot of fans that like to put their own rules on it, but there aren't really rules. But anyway, it stayed on the D-line.
And
for like the fourth year in a row.
We've got Jesse Sims.
Jesse Sims, Montana's own. I think he went to high school in Corvallis and Stevensville, if I remember right. But it could be wrong.
So I ran into Jesse. I mean, not literally, thank God. But I saw him, and I sort of stood next to him, right? Like, I was just like, God, oh, that's Jesse Sims, like, New 37. And I sort of, like, he didn't know it, but I was sort of, like, kind of getting, trying to get, like, parallel with him and just kind of look at my body versus his.
And Luke's not weird at all.
Hey, like, what would it be like to try, you know, to block this guy? Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, he's a goddamn Viking. There is nothing I could do. I grab onto his belt and he'd drag me along.
Yeah.
I'm so happy that he was named the next 37. I think he's a beast.
Yeah, I think we're lucky to have him. He was an Oregon State recruit, then Oregon State changed coaches and he decided to come to Montana. Probably one of the better Montana recruits Stitt got in his time. It was in his first year. He played DN his first year. They moved him inside of D tackle. His sophomore year, these coaches seemed to want him to play at DN again, so he did a lot of that. I bet you'll kind of see him a few places. I wouldn't be surprised if you see a little bit of hybrid linebacker as well. You know, the defensive line, I would have thought we're more deep at defensive end than D tackle, but they want him at D end, so there he is.
You know, to play the D end or even some, you know, outside linebacker, you need a little bit more athleticism and explosion. And what I have noticed is I happen to follow Stephen Fehler, ex-Grizz tight end, on Instagram, or I follow his business. It's Stephen Fehler Sports Specific.
I think so.
Now he's not contributing any money to the pod. I just really like his.
I will say, I mean, Luke is not a Missoula boy. I am a Missoula kid, and my outside observation is that Stephen Fehler has had such an impact on maybe Missoula area high school football, Missoula area high school sports. Because I think there's legitimately this athletic trainer who knows what he's doing and works with these guys.
Yeah, he's like a legit strength and conditioning coach. And
he just built an awesome new facility. Amazing. We should get a pod invite to go tour that place.
Steven, if you're listening to this, you're invited on the pod. I want you to show me how to do a lift.
I don't need you to show me how to do anything. I just want to see the place.
So, yeah, I mean, I think about, like the gym teacher coaches that I had in high school, and God bless them, they're basically donating their time. But they would essentially just stand in the weight room in their windbreakers, whistles,
yeah,
and be like, work harder.
We went to school different sides of the state, but this sounds very familiar.
Right. I mean, just go harder. Like, don't be weak. And
if you're not puking, you're not trying.
So I see this Instagram page, and he's got this immaculate facility, and he's a real strength and conditioning coach. I'm super excited. The point of this whole story, I'm sorry, a little bit of a tangent, is that he's teaching Missoula high school kids real strength and conditioning. And I see Jesse Sims working there, or volunteering there. And between the stuff he does at Stephen Fehler's Institute and the great work done by Matt Nicholson in the Grizz Champion Center, I wonder if Jesse Sims is going to go to a next level next year. Like, more explosive and powerful. When you're doing all these Olympic-type lifts, mm-hmm. you're really focusing on developing your power. And I'm super excited because I think Jesse Sims could be the best number 37 we've had in quite some time.
And which is saying something because Jordan Tripp got drafted by the Dolphins, right? No,
yeah.
The Jaguars.
Yeah.
One of the two. But anyway, yeah, drafted and bounced around the NFL for a couple years.
That's what I'm saying. He's a Viking, dude. Like, if you put more speed and athleticism on Jesse Sims, like, I don't know why he's not going to be an NFL player.
It's interesting. You mentioned something else in there, not to pivot too much, but you mentioned Nicholson. And you were talking about the coaches a little bit ago. But I think one of the underrated things is we know, you know, the O-linemen, who we talked about a little bit earlier, but they got to keep their coach. Germer worked for Stitt. He's worked for Haup in the past. Haup kept him on. He's a Montana guy. He's a Montana grad. So I think for the O-linemen, one of the things that we're kind of under, maybe not giving enough credit for, is that they get their coach. Everybody on the coaching side that he kept, he had ties to. So Coach Howe kept Schillinger, he kept Germer, and he kept Green.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it, right?
Yep.
And those guys all played for him or have coached with him in the past and are Montana guys. In the football department as a whole, though, he kept two guys. One, Colin Bonnickson, who is the director of football operations, came actually from the School of Mines with Coach Stitt. He wasn't on Coach Stitt's football staff. He was an SID, I think, at Mines, and he came here as a director of football operations. Mm-hmm. They kept him, and I think that's awesome.
Guy.
He's an awesome guy. I think he's kind of brought some modern touch to the Grizzly football kind of social media world. The last set of coaches we had were pretty young. Maybe they didn't need it. These old guys we've got probably need Twitter help. So good for Colin. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's a bad thing because we went from a staff full of guys I think we liked. I think a lot of guys that are going to be good coaches. But they all went to school with you and I.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, for the most part, you think about them. And we are – they're replaced with guys that went to school right after our parents. I mean – like, you know, the level of experience on this staff is huge. But the other guy they kept that you mentioned was Nicholson, Matt Nicholson, the strength and conditioning guy. And I think that's huge. I think that's under people don't maybe realize how big of a deal that is because when you bring in a new coach, you kind of have to get to know the players. But Nicholson knew them all. There was no learning strengths and weaknesses in the weight room. There was no relearning expectations. He was there. So in my mind, I mean, those are big hires, and I think that that's going to pay dividends, those guys being with a guy for now. This will be his fourth season.
Yep. So sticking with the defensive side of the ball, one place I think that the Grizz could maybe look to improve or upgrade or develop this season is the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
One guy I really love is Josh Sandry back at safety. But let's talk a little bit about the secondary and what they expect to be bringing back.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they bring back basically Sandry and Epperly, and that's almost it. I mean, a couple of redshirt guys who are going to try and contribute to. I think Fouch is maybe playing in safety now. So for the safety position, we're thin. And it's like when we went to recruiting, it's like we were thin. I think that was a target. They went out and they got Gavin Robertson, who's a transfer from Arizona. Ironically, he went to... played high school football with Gresh Jensen. They were safeties together on the defensive side.
He who shall not be named.
Gresh, we're going to miss you. And they went and got some guy named Robbie Houck. I don't know that there's a family connection. Weird.
God, there was a Houck that played here.
I'm trying to think. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Tim.
Tim?
Yeah.
I've seen that jersey in Reds.
Weird. Yeah. Reds. That's where
I've seen it in Reds.
No, we're obviously joking. Clearly, Robbie Houck is Coach Houck's son. But Coach Houck did not play football here. Tim Houck did. So hopefully Robbie got more of Uncle Tim's football skills. But I'll tell you, watching practice.
He's undersized, dude.
Yeah, he's undersized. I mean, he's a small guy. But I think he's the best tackler on the team.
Oh.
Like he's out there. He's taking reps with the number ones. I think if Robbie Houck had 6 more inches on him, he would be a Pac-12 safety, and there is no doubt in my mind that he would.
But he was on Northern Arizona.
Redshirt freshman at Northern Arizona last year.
So we know he's got big sky talent.
Yeah, he's definitely got big sky talent, and I don't know if Stitt offered him or not, but he probably wasn't going to come play. I mean, you know, there's a whole lot of politics there. When his dad got hired here, he applied for asked NAU for his release, and NAU said yes. The Big Skies approved his transfer to hopefully play right away. The NCAA still has to approve it, so we don't know for sure if he's playing next year, but we should hope he is because we need him.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sandry's pretty set, but I think that the other side of the safety is a little more wide open. And some of our defense in the spring has actually played 3 safeties, which is something I know that San Diego State played a little bit of, so interesting to watch.
Okay. What about cornerback?
Cornerback, there's one guy that I'm really excited about, that's Darian Nash. He was a wide receiver 2 years ago. Last fall, they converted him to a cornerback. As the season went on, he got more and more comfortable and actually played a decent amount. I think he's going to be good. I think he's young, and I think that it would be awesome if we had like a veteran senior to pair with him. Because I think that he could learn a lot. I think that it would take a little bit of pressure off of him. Right now, he's like our number one cornerback. Lewis Cowens is back there. You know, a couple guys. I think Eaton's either a safety or a cornerback. I'm not sure. They moved him over from wide receiver. I think the reality is that the coaches are going to be looking for a transfer at the cornerback position, whether it's a junior college or a drop down from an FBS program. But, you know, Coach Stitt was looking for one for 3 years. Every program in America is looking for cornerbacks. So it's easier said than done.
Maybe the loosening of the NCAA transfer rules will help us just as much as they might hurt us.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Like, that would be an interesting thing to consider. You know, it's interesting because if you look around the conference, there have been some good transfer cornerbacks to come in and play really well. Weber had one last year. MSU's had a couple really talented transfer cornerbacks. They all got in trouble. they left their previous institution for, you know, reasons that right now would prevent them from getting on to the University of Montana football team. The mantra of this staff, I think, this time through is that they cannot sacrifice integrity for results. And
that seems wise.
Yeah, it seems like a good idea. So I think when you're looking for a drop down, that's going to eliminate some of the options because there's not going to be anybody with a real serious off the field issue that they're going to take.
Well, don't worry, because I saw on Twitter this week that Coach Brent Pease was in Knoxon, Montana, beating the bushes. So you never know what he's going to turn up.
You know, Twitter today was kind of fun with those coaches because it's like, well, two thoughts on that. One, like all the assistant coaches are like in Eastern Montana today. And I don't know if they've got a goal to go to every high school in the state, but it was like some of the high schools, these guys were like, Justin Green was up by West Yellowstone tweeting pictures of bison. And Schillinger was in Hardin tweeting about, finding the next Croy Bierman. Somebody was up in Plentywood tweeting about how Craig Polson came from Plentywood.
Someone was in Haver, I saw.
Yeah, like, somebody was with Mariani. I mean, it was kind of cool because they were going to these schools and they clearly had done a little bit of research. Like, who's the most relevant Grizz, you know, that's come from here, and let's tweet about them. And there were some more. So I thought that was interesting. The other thing that was interesting to me is, I don't know if it's coincidence, but I'm going to give Eric Tabor, the football SID, some credit here because they released the statement that Jensen was transferring and Twitter kind of started to blow up. And then within minutes, all the coaches started tweeting out where they were with pictures of the high schools. It was like, you could tell that they were trying to fill people's feeds with other information. So credit to them for having a good media plan there. We still were able to talk about it on this pod, unfortunately, but credit where credit's due.
Yeah, yeah. The Grizz are lucky to have Tabor, too. Like, he's good at his job. Hats off to Tabor. So, Mike, what do you think we can expect from that first game in Northern Iowa?
Well, I'm glad it's at home. I think there's a lot of unknown. I mean, if we recorded this last night, I would have said, I think that Jensen starts, and I think we're going to put more offensive numbers up than people realize. I think that we just need to know what we've got in Snead. Now, like I said earlier, it's like I think he's better than we think he is. He obviously has got talent. He's fast. And no one's going to have film on him. So I think game one, I think we're going to be in great shape. I think we can win that game. I know this is months and months away. But my interesting comparison with Snead is I think it's Dakota Prukop. Cat's former QB, transferred to Oregon.
I like this.
I don't know if he's as good as Dakota. Time will tell. I'm not going to put that on him. But the one thing in the book on Dakota was take away his run and make him pass. That's how we pounded him his last year with the Cats. And I'm a little bit concerned that that's going to be the book on Snead too. I think he's going to have to prove in games that if teams take away his ability to take off, can he pick him apart defensively? Because I think that's where Jensen excelled was if he stayed in the pocket, he'd go through his progressions. And some people would say, oh, he took too long. It's like, no, he was going through more progressions than maybe he should have. But he'd look for the open guy. Outside of that, we don't know. Yeah. We just don't know. I think it's going to be if we don't have five players who are new, who we don't know are coming, so I'm not talking about incoming freshmen, I'd be surprised. I think they're going to go out and hit the ground and get some transfers.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. I think they have to get a quarterback, whether it's a junior college quarterback or somebody transferring. I think they've got to get a quarterback. And all that's going to make what we see against Northern Iowa. Yeah.
I'll tell you what. I can't even imagine what I would pay to be in the tunnel before Bobby Houck's first game of the second volume back. The speech that I imagine he's going to give his team about what it means to play at the University of Montana and how bad we need to kick the teeth in and set the tone and be physical. Gosh, in a raucous, definitely sold out Washington Grizzly Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be the coolest experience. I would love to be there. And maybe I'll even try to like dress up as...
Well, if you donate enough money to the quarterback club, you probably can go.
Oh,
I'm
yeah. Not, well.
Like, I haven't reached that level, but I'm sure... this is college athletics. Every experience is for sale. So...
Oh, I'm so excited about this first game.
I think it's going to be great. You know, I sit in the north end zone, and I mean, I think it's going to be fun. It's like I've been somebody who has been not indifferent, because I like Coach Houck, and I'm excited that he's here. He wasn't in my mind. He's not the Lord and Savior that some people think he is. I think those are unrealistic expectations. But I think we're going to be good. I think we're going to be more fundamentally sound than we've been. If not, maybe more explosive, but I think you'll see some trick plays, and I think you'll see an effort to be talented. I think, regardless of Coach Houck lowering the expectations, which I think we've both talked about, he clearly is trying to lower the fans' expectations. I think they're going to be good. I think they're going to surprise people.
All right. Well, I think that wraps it up for the first Grizzcast, and... Mike, thanks, man.
Yeah, absolutely. This was a lot of fun. You know, we'll have to come up with some topics for the summer. The season writes itself. You review games and pick the next ones. And we could probably pick the Big Sky better than Nate, so we're going to be good there. Yeah. You know, we'll line up some guests for the summer pods. I'll tell you right now, we'll have Egris Brint as a guest.
Oh, I like that.
Point. He doesn't know it, but I've checked with his booking agent, so he'll be on at some point. You know, maybe we can get some other fun people to talk to. You know, we'll see. Maybe some writers. We'll get some people to talk Grizz football. And I have no doubt we're going to get some transfer news to talk about at some point. So.
All right. Well, thanks, man. And we'll have Lady Lou and the Bird Dog send us out. If I was in-